I'm Veronica Diaz, Associate Director for the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative, and you're listening to an ELI podcast on Learning Tools Interoperability, or LTI. Today, I'm joined by Elisa Cooper, English faculty and e-courses faculty lead at Glendale Community College in Glendale, Arizona. Welcome, Elisa.
Thanks, Veronica, for having me today.
Sure. So tell us, what does LTI really have to do with teaching and learning?
Well, when you think about teaching and learning, a lot of times we go directly to the old Web 2.0 tools. We have all of these great apps that are available for us to use. And in the past, these apps weren't available within an LMS. We'd have to go out to the web to find them, set them up, and then get our students set up to use them. And these are valuable tools to help us teach the concepts that we're trying to teach our students. And a lot of them are helpful for students in learning these concepts. So LTI gives us this ability to sort of tie it all together within an LMS system so that we're not out on the web with lots of different logins and so forth.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. So it seems like from what you said, the most common application of LTI is within the LMS, but what if you don't want to use an LMS? Are there any other contexts in which LTI might be useful?
Yeah, I think the biggest and the most obvious use would be the LMS, but you can use it in other website types of programs like WordPress or even Facebook, I've heard. But generally what you're doing with these types of web page setups is setting up a learning content management system, just like an LMS. So a lot of times people were not happy with the LMS that they were using, so they would go outside and create their own web pages or blogs and so forth. And you can use LTIs in those setups as well.
So I think from your background, you're probably pretty comfortable with using learning technologies, but how much support do you think the average instructor would need to make use of this? Can they really do it on their own? And what is the process of plugging something in that is LTI compliant look like?
Well, I think that initially when I first learned about LTI a year ago, it was touted as being very easy. And it was when you really looked at it. But I think it was still new. And there's only really three pieces of information that you need to set it up. And the LMS that my college changed to is Canvas. And they have a website that has all of these educational apps that are LTI compliant. And basically, you click on the app that you want to add, and it gives you the information that you need. But there were a lot of missing instructions there. And a lot of times, the instructor had to contact the actual vendor. So if I wanted to add this tool, Canvas would give me the URL that I would need, but then I would still have to contact the vendor to say, where's my consumer key and my secret password? So it was easy, but it wasn't something that I think a lot of instructors would readily go out and do. But that's actually changing with the new version, where Canvas has actually made their LTIs that integrate with their system almost one click. Now, we haven't seen that yet, but I think that it is easy enough in both applications for faculty who are determined enough to do it with little help.
So it sounds like from what you're saying that if LTI is going to be successful, some of the vendors really need to start supporting it, right? You mentioned Canvas as an example. Are there other examples? Where do you see this going in the future?
Well, right now, all the major LMSs are using LTI. So I think that it's definitely an educational platform where they're trying to help teachers and schools integrate a lot of these educational tools. So I really see it as the future, because it's an advantage for the vendors out there. Because originally, if I had a tool that I wanted to use, let's say I wanted to have blogs added to my Blackboard course, well, any individual vendor would have to create special code that would work with Blackboard. And then another customer, say from Canvas, would come in and say, we want the same thing. So they would have to create something special just for that platform. But with LTI, it's a plus for the vendors, because all they have to do is create one tool, and then it works with all of the different LMSs. So it's really not a matter of LTI catching on. It's a matter of these vendors realizing that this is here to help them as well as it is to help us as the school or the instructor.
So do you think the LTI will help to broaden the tools available within the LMS and maybe in some ways make the LMS a more dynamic, customized learning environment for students?
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, most of the major LMSs have set up sites where they list all of the educational apps that they support for their LMS. So to give you an example, you know, we have our students purchase an ebook and a platform from our publisher, which is McGraw-Hill. And what I can do is using the LTI, I can add this tool, McGraw-Hill Campus, to my Canvas course. And then the first time that students actually access that app or that tool, they will go through this process of purchasing their content for the course or their ebook for the course. So they'll click the link. It'll bring up a prompt that says, you know, this is the book that your teacher has set up for you. Do you have a code? If you don't have a code, you can buy it online. And then students go through that the first time. And then each subsequent time they actually click that link, when I want them to go read or do something with this product, they click it and it gives them single sign-on to go directly over to that tool and to be able to use it. And then it also makes it available for me as the instructor to pull in that content back to the LMS. So for instance, if they go over to, we call it Connect in McGraw-Hill, and they participate in a quiz or an assignment, well, the scores are all kept over there. And as an instructor with the LTI attached, I can sync my gradebook so that work that they've done in this tool gets transferred seamlessly back over to the LMS.
If a student, for instance, had sort of created their own personalized learning environment, maybe through a blog or something like that, would they be able to plug in external applications into their environment using the same protocol?
I don't think so. I don't think they have that ability because it would affect the whole course. And if individual students are trying to do things, it could really mess up the course. So I can't see that application, but I could see that if a student would work with a faculty member to express, you know, hey, I know this tool for flashcards that's helped me in the past. Would it be possible for you to add flashcards to this course? Or, you know, I've had flashcards in a previous course from another instructor. And it would be really easy for that instructor to be able to go in and make that available, not just for that student, but for all students. But I don't see it individually, a student doing it on their own.
Okay. Well, another observation I'm having here as I'm listening is that it sounds like LTI enables the passing of data about usage that occurs while the app is in place back to the LMS. Like maybe it collects information about the time that's spent on activities or exercises or how often someone's online. I can see that there might be some potential here for raising concerns about security and privacy. Do you think that doing something like this could violate some institutional policies about how data is used? And how are you kind of working through that in your own context?
Well, there's two parts going here. There's that collection of data that the instructor collects. You talked about being able to see how long a student has been online, you know, what their activities are. And we already have that ability. That's just part of teaching. That's part of what we do to collect assessment data. So, for instance, I installed a LTI for SoftChalk, which is a learning content creation tool. And basically, the reason why I installed that was that I teach an online class, and I want to make sure that my students are participating in the lessons that I provide for them online. You know, they're not sitting in a face-to-face class, so I don't know what they're doing. But by adding this tool, I can go in and see that students are actively engaged with the content that I've created. And this is all part of what we normally do with teaching and learning. We keep track of our students so that we know how to help them further. We can say, hey, I noticed that you didn't even do that lesson. So if you were to do that lesson, you might do better on the next quiz. So that type of data, I don't think there's a problem with. And only the instructor can see this data. It's not the external tool that gets that data. But then we have to look at the privacy concerns with the tool that does collect data. So generally the data that an external tool will collect is some sort of a user ID, the role. So if the student is a student or if it's an instructor, it can collect their personal information and an email address. That's generally the private information that they can collect. But as a user deploying that tool, I can decide which private information I want to turn off. So if I want to use a tool like Piazza, and I don't want for Piazza to know my students' real names, I can turn that off. I will know the student's real name, but they will not. Same thing if I don't want them to collect the email address, we can turn those features off. So we get the ability to sort of protect ourselves by having that option to turn stuff off.
Great. Well, that sounds pretty good. Well, thank you for joining us today. And for all of you listening, don't forget to check out ELI's 7 Things You Should Know About August issue, which is on LTI at bit.ly.com/7thingsELI.